translation. By His divine grace, Srila Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki. Shukadev Goswami continued, piteously embracing her daughter and crying, Devaki begged Kamsa for the child, but he was so cruel that he chastised her and forcibly snatched the child from her hands. Purport. Although Devaki was crying like a very poor woman, actually she was not poor. And therefore the word used here is Dinavat. She had already given birth to Krishna, and therefore who could have been richer than she? Even the demigods had come to offer prayers to Devaki, but she played the part of a poor, piteously afflicted woman because she wanted to save the daughter of Yashoda. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Karud Vachanam Pangam Nangaite Girim Yad Kripa Tamam Vande Shri Guru Dinataya Hare Krishna Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 4, Atrocities of King Kamsa. I'll read text 6, which has no purport. Translation. My lord, my brother, I am very poor, being bereft of all my children, but still I am your younger sister, and therefore it would be worthy of you to give me this last child as a gift. Then 7, piteously embracing her daughter and crying, Devaki begged Kamsa for the child, but he was so cruel that he chastised her and forcibly snatched the child from her hands. We're getting a slice of the happenings in this great, great Leela of the Lord, and especially the Leela of the Lord's appearance in this world. It is very amazing that when we discuss the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we are hearing verse by verse, and speaker upon speaker comes and speaks 40 minutes, an hour, just about a few moments, a few happenings in the pastimes of the Lord. That is because they are very significant and they carry so much depth, especially for the purification of the living being who hears about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This section is very sad because Mother Devaki, who had been imprisoned by her own brother, Kamsa. Now, if any of you have brothers? Any of you ever imagined your own brothers keeping you in some prison? Any of you imagine having 7 kids and that your brother kills one by one? No, we haven't gone through such types of traumas. Mother Devaki went through all of this. Child after child, her own brother was killing the children. And at this point, the Lord has appeared. And both Devaki and Vasudev got the chance to have that darshan. They were very pleased. And at the same time, very concerned. Kamsa has been murdering our kids in such a vicious way. Now we have that child whom we've been praying for lifetime after lifetime. And they were worried for his safety. And the Lord, understanding the core of their hearts, to serve him as their child and protect him, he performed such a wonder that Everyone in the prison cell, in the palace, fell asleep. The huge gates opened. Shackles fell out of their hands. And Vasudev was able to take the child to Vrindavan. Already, in the mind of the conditioned soul, there's so much room for doubt. There's a very bad phenomena going around that when the discussion about Krishna's pastimes comes up, well, people like to say, well, that's Hindu mythology. But when on television one man or the other, bat or spider or super or iron, all these types of men, they can do all sorts of things, and that is quite accepted in the households. The children are encouraged to adorn such paraphernalia resembling these superheroes. And because of the influence of that industry, then the real superhero seems to be a fairy tale. But the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the origin of all mystical power. Vasudev took the child Krishna to the house of Mother Yashoda and exchanged him for the daughter of Yashoda. And this is that daughter that, upon returning into the cell, the child was crying, and Kamsa heard the cries. Soon as you'd hear the cry, it's time to come and kill the child. And she's appealing to him, addressing him, my lord. So we'll take a step to understand who Kamsa is, if it is actually even possible to understand Kamsa. So Kamsa, most of the time it's understood that he's the son of Ugrasena and Padmavati. But Padma Purana quotes Brihad Bhagavatamrita about actually Kamsa is not the son of Ugrasena and Padmavati. That at some point when Padmavati had recently been married to Ugrasena, she went to live at the house of her father. His name was Satya Sena. And while she was there, one evil-minded man, unscrupulous man, had affection for her, wanted to have her in some way. So his name was Trumila. And this Trumila, he also had mystic powers. So he shape-shifted and he looked like Ugrasena. And he approached Padmavati, desiring union with her. And so it came to pass that they had union. And even during that, being so much captivated, the Strumila even lost his form and showed his original form. But because of the power of that attraction, still a child was conceived in the womb. And this child is Kamsa himself. And so the background of Kamsa is not from Gabadan Samskar under a marriage situation where everyone's happy. Under some deceitful conditions, under some lusty conditions. And therefore, it is no wonder that he's so evil-minded, so cruel. She's trying to appeal to him, but his heart is so hard that all he can think of is his own welfare. Your children, Narada Muni told me, it's not necessarily the eighth child counting from 1 to 8. It could be some other type of counting because the demigods are very tricky. So I will kill all of them. She's trying to appeal to him that, you know, I'm your brother. And already, you have already killed so many of my children. And this child is actually a girl child. She's not male. So you don't have to fear this child. And even just on the the social platform in the Vedic customs and in that culture, the women, what to speak of the children, the elderly, are meant to be protected. In this case, Kamsa is harassing his own sister and wants to kill her girl child. What is wonderful to note is how Devaki wanted to protect this child because she understood it was Yashoda's child. She so saintly that she was thinking that I've lost so many children. Now this one has come. It's a girl. It belongs to Yashoda. We've exchanged ours. How can I allow Kamsa to kill this one? So she's begging him. You see this type of consideration also when Yudhishthira Maharaj had come across all his brothers who had died from drinking from that one lake where that yaksha was, Mahabharata describes. And so that yaksha wanted Yudhishthira Maharaj to answer some questions, which he obliged and answered correctly. And his brothers, he had a choice. Okay, which one would you like to revive first? And Yudhishthira Maharaj, he chose that Sahadev. So actually that yaksha turned out to be his own father, Yamaraj. Then he was asking, you're about to face a huge war and you need the prowess of Bhima and Arjuna. Why did you choose to revive Sahadev first? And Yudhishthira Maharaj, with his golden heart, his consideration was that Sahadev is the child of my stepmother, you could say. And in all fairness, I'm already living. So at least let me save one of Mother Madri's children. So no thought of how to strengthen his own position, maybe revive Bhima or Juna. But the gentility of such persons is very amazing. So Kamsa, as he fits the descriptions that are given in Bhagavad Gita about the demoniac, which Krishna speaks this chapter so that we can also introspect and try to find this within ourselves. Pravritim cha, nivritim cha. There, it is mentioned how such demoniac psychology means you don't know what's to be done and what's not to be done. Like this, for Kamsa, who is a Kshatriya, this was completely against, you know, Kshatriya principles. It was completely against any sort of honor. He's such a big warrior. He wants to kill children. But because this last, I want to get a certain position, I want to secure a certain facility. If that, someone is in the way of that, I become angry. And anger covers one's intelligence. He's acting blindly. And she's trying to sort of appeal to that nice Kamsa, you know? Everyone is a spirit soul. Everyone is a pure servant of God, eternal. So there's a nice devotee in everyone is, but there's these layers that are covering. She tried to cling to the child. Now Kamsa, he is so powerful after all this tapasya. Why he is the chief demon is not that there was a vote somewhere, they elected him, okay, Kamsa, you look more much, you know, muscular than the rest of us, your hairstyle is nicer, therefore you become the king demon. Now, to become the biggest demon, the leader of the demons, he had to subdue other demons. So he had defeated, you know, very powerful demons. Putana, all these Agasuras were very powerful. It's related how even his strength was respected by Jarasandha. Jarasandha was having his own lila by some river, and Jarasandha, he had many elephants, war elephants, and one such war elephant is the famous Kuvalayapida, because, you know, Krishna eventually killed him. He became famous. And this Kuvalayapida said, it said that he was as strong as 10,000 of such war elephants. And what they do, they give them some type of intoxication just to keep them angry and violent. So one day it happened that he broke free from how he, you know, he was tied down somewhere. He broke free. And Kamsa happened upon this mad elephant that was tackling everything. And he tackled this elephant and threw it a couple of miles away. And so Jarasandha, upon seeing that, you know, because amongst Kshatriyas or even the demoniac, you know, might is right. So this guy, he's really tough. How he handled my elephant, so he could understand that I need to become an ally with him. So like that, Jarasandha accepted him and even gave two of his daughters to him for marriage and gave this elephant as dowry. So he's very, very powerful, very, very feared person. And so now Devaki is trying to cling on to the child, and Kamsa just forcibly snatches the child. Small baby, he's holding by the legs and he wants to smash on the floor. It's explained then what happens later. That child was no ordinary child. So one point that is brought up by Srila Prabhupada in the purport, which I thought is such a small purport, is that, so Devaki was crying like a very poor woman. Actually, she was not poor. She had already given birth to Krishna. Therefore, who could have been richer than she? This is the opulence of the devotees, that they possess love for Krishna, and therefore that love for Krishna is everything. Nothing can be compared to that. Sometimes it is mentioned that people worship the demigod, especially Shiva, so that they gain wealth. And they feel that if we worship Vishnu, we may become poverty-stricken. Obviously, because there is a lila that says, when the sages wanted to know who was the topmost person in the universe, then they elected Bhrigu Muni to conduct a test. And he went to see his own brother Shiva. He went to see Brahma, who was his father, and then to Vishnu. When he went to Shiva, Lord Shiva was very happy to see him. He came to embrace him, and Bhrigu Muni just kind of ducked and, you know, curled his lips as if, sis, yuck, who are you to embrace me? And Shiva, you know, he became enraged, you know, and he's his younger brother. This guy is becoming so puffed up, he wanted to kill him with his trident. So Bhrigu Muni noted, okay, he's got anger issues. And he left to go and see Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is his father. So the etiquette is he should offer his respects to his father. So he just walked in, didn't offer any respect to Brahma, and started to talk to his mother. And so Lord Brahma noted this. So he also became affected by that. He became angry. So he could see, okay, he's also catching feelings that I didn't respect him, so he must not be the supreme. And then he went to see Lord Vishnu, and Lord Vishnu was lying down in some yoga nidra, and he was receiving very nice massage on his lotus feet. And Bhrigu Muni, when he entered, he just went and kicked the Lord on his chest. Boom. And Lord Vishnu came out of that slumber and immediately apologized. Oh, my dear Bhrigu, I'm so sorry that your soft lotus foot had to kick such a hard chest. Please allow me to massage your feet, because today is such an auspicious day that your lotus feet have come to my residence and I can get the dust from your feet. I am blessed. And Bhikkhumuni could see, well, now we're dealing with another type of consciousness. You know? He understood who Vishnu was. But Lakshmi Devi, she noted, this is madness, craziness. This Bhikkhumuni just comes here, kicks my Lord. And so it is said that from her displeasure, she thought these Brahmanas have become very puffed up. Therefore, I will never favor them. So Lakshmi then apparently stays a little bit far away from Brahmanas. So people feel that if I worship Vishnu, maybe I'll be subject to that curse. But we know that the devotees of Krishna are not just Brahmanas. Vaishnavas is above. And so the Lord, he's taking away the material desires of the devotees. Therefore, they become poor in material desires. If you go to some yogi in the Himalayas performing some sort of tapasya, and you want to offer him a house in Watford, a car, a job, will he be interested? No. Because he has a higher aim. So therefore, he's happy with the simple living like this. And because he wants to get everything in Krishna. Krishna is everything. Like sometimes we say, Krishna is like zip file. The name of Krishna, zip file, everything is inside. If you open it, everything comes out. So, in this way, there are several pastimes where we see how Krishna is everything. And also how, although he's everything, he's still dealing as an individual, as a child, as a friend. Mother Yashoda, when Krishna was a young boy in Vrindavan, like any child, children want to play. And actually, this is an interesting thing, that actually the goal of life is to play, dear devotees. I don't know if you ever thought of that. That our goal of life is to go and play in Vrindavan. So, you know, all the seriousness of this material world, all the cutting the profile, all the becoming big, only to go and play around in the forest. So anyway, Krishna plays. He's the type of God, he's playing. And while he was playing, then he happened to eat some dirt. And so the other boys, they went to tell Mother Yashoda that Krishna has eaten some dirt. And Krishna denied it. No, I didn't eat any dirt. They're just teaming up against me, ganging up on me. They're telling lies. So Mother Yashoda said, look, let me check then. Anyway, Krishna, he is the one who suggested that, well, if you think I ate dirt, then you. He was hoping to give her some reverse psychology. If he says, look in my mouth, then she'll think, then he must not have eaten it. But she didn't fall for it. Let me look. And, you know, she opened his mouth and looked within his mouth and saw, you know, the entire cosmic creation, everything, including herself in Vrindavan, looking into Krishna's mouth. So she was like blown away. What is this? Did someone put some type of voodoo on me? Because her Vatsalya Prem always covers this opulence, this position of Krishna being the supreme. So this small boy, everything is within him. So if you have him, you have everything. Abhimanyu also was invited by Mother Yashoda. You come to my house. I have very nice jewelry and trinkets that I want you to take and give to Srimati Radharani. And so she spent the day picking out all sorts of nice items and packing them nicely in this box. She's thinking how this Radharani is such a wonderful soul. She cooks for Krishna. Her cooking is amazing. Krishna loves it. And so Krishna understood that there was this box being prepared and it was going to go into the house of Jatila for Radharani. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Kija. Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Kija. And Krishna, being the wonderful trickster that he is, he decided to take out all the items in the box when Mother Yashoda had stepped out of the room, and he himself jumped into that box. She was done, everything was sealed, waiting for Abhimanyu to come pick up the box. And so Abhimanyu came, and Mother Yashoda was giving instructions to him. So Abhimanyu, in this box is the most precious jewels and ornaments. These are meant for Srimati Radharani only. You make sure now you take this box. Don't become sidetracked by anything, stopping to buy airtime or anything. You go straight and you give it to Srimati Radharani. And you tell her that the best ornaments, simply for her pleasure and enjoyment, have been given by me. So Abhimanyu took the box, put it on his head, and as he was walking, he was thinking, wow, why am I feeling so happy carrying this box? So here, you know, Krishna's lotus feet, his body was just like inches above his head. So any contact with Krishna creates ananda. So he was blissful, kind of skipping, going home with his box. So Abhimanyu was not the world's strongest man, but understanding that Krishna is everything and Mother Yashoda saw everything in Krishna, therefore Abhimanyu was carrying everything. But it was possible for him to carry everything. Yeah. He took that box, he got into the house. Jatila was asking, what is this? Oh, Mother Yashoda, the best things, the most prized jewels for Radharani. She was happy. Instructions, you give it to her and she, only for her pleasure. And Krishna was delivered. And Abhimanyu gave all privacy to Radharani to give instructions. Look, she said, you take care of this, you treasure these things, you put them close to your heart. And she opens the box, and the treasure of all treasures was inside. Krishna came out, and they were happy together, and no one was coming in to bother because strict instructions. So he was carrying everything. Krishna is everything. Lord Brahma, he stole the boys from the coward pastures, and he stashed them in a cave. And then he was curious to see how Krishna was going to react. So he came to see what was the situation in Vrindavan. And then he saw how the situation was exactly as it was before. Krishna, his friends, the calves, everyone was continuing life. And he got confused. I just took them and hit them. So that moment away, as is explained, was like a whole year on the earth planet. Krishna expanded himself into all the cows and onto all the calves. Everyone in Vrindavan, their affection for their children, the cows' affection for their calves increased. And even to the point that one day when they were out in the pasturing grounds, and some cows on top of Govardhan Hill started running down the hill. And they were so affectionate to some cows, licking them, and it was not even their own cows, that Balaram was thinking that something's not right here. Why are these calves so affectionate to these calves, which are not even their own? And he suspected some mystic arrangement must have gone on, and Krishna must have arranged this. So Brahma also, Krishna was kind to him, he showed him. I have expanded myself into everyone exactly as they were previously. Therefore, displaying his supreme mystic position, his supreme position as the all in all. And Brahma, when he offered his prayers, he was apologizing that, how was I to understand who you are? Because I'm seeing this boy walking here on Vrindavan, in Vrindavan, herding cows, eating some food. How am I to know that actually everything is within you? Yet you are here walking like any other child. He said, I'm just like a child in the mother's belly. So the child sometimes kicks. It's not that the mother gets annoyed, hey, and punches the stomach. No, they become happy or still alive and growing. So Brahma was appealing like this. You are inside everything, yet you are outside of everything. And I'm just like that child in your belly. How am I to understand you who are everything? So Devaki was carrying this very Lord in her own womb. And this was recognized by the demigods. They had come into the jail cell. Even Kamsa saw this lady so effulgent and just looking so amazing. He could also understand she must be carrying the Lord. So why is she crying so piteously, like she's so poor and without any asset, when already she had given birth to Krishna? So Srila Prabhupada is explaining that we should not consider that actually she was in that position of poverty, having taken, given birth to Krishna, but that also she was more inclined towards trying to save the daughter of Yashoda. I've lost my kids. Now this Kamsa wants to kill Yashoda's child. So we are also encouraged by such a pastime that we should keep the main thing the main thing. In this case, the main person, the main person. So Krishna is the main person. He is the source of our very existence. He is the life of all living beings. And he is the love and the lover that we're looking for. So if we keep our consciousness fixed at his lotus feet in his service, then no matter what material nature, with all its cruel arrangements, adibhautik klesha, adiatmik klesha, whatever klesha you can come up with, we won't feel a lack, because we will understand that we have the privilege of being able to serve Krishna, who is everything. Srila Prabhupada ki jaya. Granta Srimad Bhagavatam ki jaya. Gaur Premanandi Haribo.